Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, world. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are here for another wonderful, empowering episode of Living by Design. Now, if you've been with us for the last several months, our theme has been to try to help you get unstuck from whatever your rut or routine or toxic behavior is so that you can just get on with your life and enjoy life, because life is short and there's a lot of distress and things that are going on in people's lives and causing them to just have total distress and depression and obsession with worry. And we're trying to help you get yourself out of that place. Our guest tonight is life coach and clinical psychologist Michelle Bursell. That's a nice rhyme to her name. Michelle Bursell, and she's going to be coming on here in just a few minutes to talk to us about her journey, because her journey is absolutely amazing. But before we get to that, we've been talking about the grand gala that's going to be coming up in Indianapolis, Indiana in another few weeks. And so we're just going to take a quick little second break here and let you hear a little bit of detail about that fabulous upcoming event.
Stewart & Associates presents the upcoming 2010-2011 Speaker Series. The season kicks off with a 25th anniversary celebration on Friday, October 15th, commemorating a quarter century of excellence. This grand gala kickoff will include a celebrity lineup of guests that you won't want to miss. And then the season begins on November 16th with Roland Martin. Guest speakers from this 2010-2011 season will include actor Hill Harper, Dr. Ben Carson, and First Lady Michelle Obama. Get your tickets now. For details, please visit www.stewartspeakers.com. That's www.stewardspeakers.com.
All right. So you certainly don't want to miss that. So if you're in the Indianapolis or surrounding area, you might want to check that out, because it certainly is something you don't want to miss. So how are you this evening, Tony? Tony, are you with me? Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, I am here. How are you?
I was asking how you were doing this evening.
I'm doing well, and probably the problem is I'm actually in transit. I've had to be trying to be the good father and pick up my teenage daughter for practice, so I'm not in a stationary location like normal, so I may be in and out, and I apologize to our listeners for that.
Okay, well, let's just move ahead on and go ahead and bring our guest on the line this evening. She is actually, as I stated, a psychotherapist and life coach, and I am so excited to hear her story. So I am going to go ahead and bring our guest, Dr. Michelle Bursell, on the line. Michelle, are you there?
I am, Kathy. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to hear more about your fabulous story. And I know you also have a book that sounds extremely amazing. So I first want to start out, Michelle, your website is absolutely wonderful. And for all the listeners who are on with us tonight in the chat room and who are dialed in listening, Michelle is going to be giving away one of her downloads. So you have to email me. Whoever is the first person to email me with your request, then we will hook you up with Michelle, and you will get a free download. So my email address, as you know, is Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y, at cholowayhill.com. That's C-H-O-L-L-O-W-A-Y-H-I-L-L.com. So, Michelle, tell our listeners about you. You have a great quote on your website, and I absolutely love it. And it says something to the tune of, before you uncover the truth to our emotions, you have become paralyzed by your feelings and fears, even though you had professional training as a psychotherapist and life coach. Tell us about that.
That's right, Kathy. I really did struggle with my thoughts and my feelings, and this was really became a problem because I wanted to be a person, you know, here I was helping people with their own distress and emotional issues that were popping up, and yet there were areas in my life where I even with the training that I had, with all the background in clinical psychology as well as alternative training as a life coach and in other holistic practices, I just could not wrap around sometimes why I felt the way I did. And what was really troubling to me was two things. First of all, my life, for the most part, was really good. You know, I had a loving husband and had children, and so, you know, we were living this nice life, and so a part of me is like, what's wrong with me? You know, why am I, you know, feeling worried or upset or sad? And I just couldn't put my finger on it. And the other thing that was distressing to me was, if I feel this way, and I've got all this training and experience and background, and on top of it, I've read just about every self-help book out there. You know, where does this leave other people where this is not their career, this is not their focus, and how are they supposed to manage this? Well, I was going through this period and really just felt down, really down at one point, and just started crying and just really wanted to give up, and having this conversation with God, and, you know, just saying, you know, I can't do this anymore. I cannot help people if I don't feel like I am completely walking my talk.
That's
and
right.
Yeah. And so after I kind of threw that, got those feelings out, and I was crying and I was angry and I was frustrated and all those things, I sat down to meditate. And in my meditation, I was guided that I needed to write. And I thought, well, that's interesting, but, you know, I journal a lot, so that's nothing different. And then through that inner voice, that inner wisdom, and I'm going to speak more about that tonight, said, no, Michelle, you're going to get on your computer and write. So, you know, like most of us do, when we get an intuitive hit that doesn't make sense to our rational mind, we blow it off. And so I blew off that message until I was awoken the next morning at 4:30 in the morning. And at that point, I have, my twin boys, they weren't even one yet. And so the thought of waking up at 4:30 in the morning was not something I was thrilled about. And so, but I heard this voice saying, now is the time, get up and write. And I started fighting with this voice. I'm like, are you kidding me? I want to sleep. And so on and so forth. Well, I wasn't winning the argument. I wasn't able to get back to sleep. So I got up and started writing. And in 9 months, that's when my first book was finished. Because each morning I would awaken with the same voice saying it's time, and this information and this insight regarding how to look at our emotions from what I call an emotional consciousness standpoint was revealed. And it was really shown to me how the way we understand our emotions currently is what I call the emotional stone ages, because it's based, limited based in understanding from the ego. And there's this whole other level to it that once we access will finally make sense to how you feel and give you the next step to make your life feel more your ideal. It will help you to keep creating those steps in the direction that you want to go towards.
Excellent, excellent. And you know, Michelle, I want to comment on a couple of things you said. The first thing that was extremely insightful and very important for our listeners is that you obey the voice.
Mm-hmm.
There are tons of people in this world who are actually getting the message, but they're ignoring it. They're pushing it down. They're pushing it back. They're pushing it away. And then they ask themselves, why do I feel miserable? Well, you have to be obedient. If you're asking for help and you're praying and you're doing all these things, the message is there. And I say this a lot in my workshops. The message is there. You're not hearing it because you're not being obedient.
Yes.
You don't want to hear it. When the message comes to you, it's something that's too difficult, it's too hard, it requires change, or whatever the excuse is, and therefore you continue to live in misery. So information without implementation leads to frustration is what I say.
I like that saying.
It doesn't do any good to have the information if you're not going to apply it. So that's the first comment I want to make. Excellent, excellent, that you obey the voice and it resulted in a fantastic product. So that's wonderful. And then the other comment I wanted to make is that I like what you said about the fact of, you know, how our emotions work, because our emotions are very complex and there is so many different dynamics to that. And, you know, and I'm so glad you posted that statement on your website, because we are life coaches and you're a psychologist. I'm going back to school to get my master's in psychology. And regardless of the fact that we have these credentials and we do this work, there are still things that we as humans all struggle with. And you're right, Michelle. I want to also be one of those kind of people who walks my talk. So it's very, very important to always, always stay on top of that. Always stay on top of that. And you also mentioned something about how to use your feelings that weigh you down, those same feelings that are an anchor for you, how to use those to your advantage. So how can you help our listeners understand that?
Oh, I would love to, because this is really what is going on for people. The reason why they don't obey the voice is because of fear. You know, those fears come in that are telling them all the reasons why not to. And so it's very easy to cloud over and not hear what that voice is, because your ego will overpower that voice. So what's really, and I completely agree with you, Kathy, that the message is there, and what's happened for people, and really why I believe that there is so much emotional distress is because people are ignoring it, because people are so used to allowing their ego and rational mind to take over. Now, when I say ego, I don't mean that you're egotistical. I mean this part of yourself that isn't your authentic inner knowing place. So when we talk about that voice, I'm speaking about your essence, this true part of you that has this inner wisdom that is meant to guide you. And the ego is the protector of this and has been needed. But what's happened for us is that we end up over-relying on the ego as this protector. And when that happens, this whole way of being that's based on shoulds and what our mind thinks is what's best is taking us away, actually, from our essence. And so our feelings can actually be a signal to support you to recognize when you are pulling away from your essence. Now, this idea of our emotions as a signal has actually been around for a long time. Kathy, you're studying psychology now. You've probably read about it as well.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is that it hasn't been clear about what what this signal means. And so that's where people get really confused. So let me share with you an example that just happened recently with one of my clients that I was working with. And so she started the conversation. She said, "Michelle, you know, a few months ago, I found out that I had a lump in my breast, and I got tested, and fortunately, it was benign, but now I can't help but ruminate and worry about that it's going to spread, and it's going to turn into cancer, or they miss something, and it's going to be cancer." And so she says, you know, first of all, she's on this path to trying to live her life more consciously. So she's like, first of all, I'm stressed out that I'm having these thoughts. And now, because I know how terrible it is to have these thoughts and how much it impacts your life and your health and your well-being, now I'm counting how often I have these thoughts, and I'm stressing myself out. And she's like, I don't know how to get rid of them. She said, I've done all that I can to think positively, to be centered. And she goes, you know, I can meditate, but then I'm with myself the other 23 hours of the day, you know, that these thoughts will come up. And so I said, mm-hmm. So what you've been doing is trying to push away these negative thoughts. I said, let's face what these negative thoughts are. Tell me what they are. And she said, that I'm going to get cancer and I'm going to die. And so this is what's her ego. These are the messages of the ego. This is the negative thinking. And I said, okay, so why are you so fearful of dying? And tears came out and just flowed out. And she said, because I feel that I haven't truly lived yet. And I don't want to die because I know I've been preparing for something, and now's my time to really put it forward. I go, there's the truth. So see, the sadness and anxiety, all these emotions carry with it the truth of what's really behind this. And I said, okay, so basically your ego is trying to prevent you from staying in that truth state. So every time that you start to feel like, I'm going to get cancer, I'm going to die, I want you to thank that feeling. I want you to say thank you, because I know what that is really about. This is really an indicator that I'm meant to live my life to the fullest now, and I cannot keep putting myself second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on down the list. Now is my time to live my life to the fullest and live my life in purpose, and I cannot make excuses for it. So that negative thought, what we did was we broke it down to make it conscious to what it was really about for her. And she knew it was the truth because it flowed out of her and through these tears, and it was so real and right. Because in her rational mind, she knew she wasn't dying of cancer. And so what she knew was that this is true, that I have been putting off living my life, thinking that I have to be a good wife, I have to be a good worker, so on and so forth. And to use that thought and to thank it, because that's the ego, and as you thank it, you say, thank you, but I know what this is really about for me. And thank you for this reminder, because now I realize that in this moment I need to apply living my life to the fullest. So it's right then and there, it stopped. And she shared with me, you know what, Michelle? Those thoughts come up. As soon as I was to thank it and used it as a reminder that I'm supposed to live my life to the fullest, gone. And she's like, this was something that was pervasive in my thoughts. As she said, you know, 23 hours, she slept and dreamt about this. Gone, because she gave her power back to her essence, what it was really about for her, and said, ego, I don't need you protecting me to this degree. So it's a very, and when I teach this, Kathy, I teach this with every emotion. There is a theme of truth to it, that I support people to gain it back, their personal power away from the ego, that whose job is to see when we are ready to take more responsibility for our potential and true authentic power.
That's right. That is very, very empowering. And you know, that story that you just told, that young lady had no idea. And most people who are, I like to call them the walking dead. And I know that sounds very, very tough and hardcore, but it's exactly what's happening, because what she was actually doing unknowingly was moving herself closer to what she feared most, which was death.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And she was allowing her thoughts to move her to that, because when you constantly worry and you're constantly distressed and depressed and obsessed with worry, you are just slowly, slowly, slowly killing yourself. You're not living. You're just surviving. You're basically waiting to die.
Yes.
That's what she was doing. She was waiting to die. And everyone out there who's listening to me and who heard that story, you've got to live your life while you're living. Now, if you're afraid to die and you don't want to die and you're obsessed with dying because you're afraid of it, well, you're going right toward it. The more you worry about it, the quicker you're going to get yourself exactly where you don't want to be.
Yes.
You have to live your life while you're living.
Yes.
Are you living or are you surviving? You
and
know,
then
it's one of the two, living or surviving.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And that's what was really troublesome for her, because she knew that. She was actually aware of that. But she did not know how to control the thoughts until then. And that's when I said it's not a – there's this whole notion about control. And see, that's for me. That's why this process worked for me, because there are some people – that can do the fake it till you make it strategy, which is fine. I'm just not one of those people. So for me and others that I work with and support, it has to be authentic. And when she felt the truth to what was really going on, then she could authentically address her ego and say, aha, I know what you're up to. And I'm using this as a signal now to really indicate what this is about for me. So what
she... And let's dig a little bit deeper into ego from a psychological perspective so that the listeners can understand. Because I know every time they hear the word ego, they're probably thinking about, you know, oh, I'm overconfident and, you know, that type of thing. But that's
right.
Not what you're referring to.
No, no, right, Kathy. So ego, and I'm going to explain it both from a standpoint that's psychological with a bit of a spiritual slant. And this is my sense of ego, that ego is really, and from a psychological perspective, that's our false sense of self. And
that's
we
all sense of self.
Yes, to put it simply. And so, you know, we develop this because there's expectations put on us, you know, when we're younger. And for those of you who are like me, who was always called sensitive, that you will pick up on what other people desire and want from you really easily. And so you develop this version of yourself that you think is going to be the lovable, appreciated type of person that people will respond to. And so you develop this, and then what happens is that you start to believe that if you aren't that version of yourself, then you can't receive love. You can't receive having your needs met. And so we lose ourselves based on this false sense of self that gets developed by our ego. And now this happens, I believe, from a spiritual standpoint mixed with my psychology background. I believe that there's some people, psychologists, people in the self-help industry that say, you know, ego's bad, ego is terrible, get rid of your ego. I believe that everything about us has a purpose. I believe we are created in perfection, and that ego was a part of the perfection, because I believe if we didn't have that ego protecting our innocent essence when we first enter this world and as we're children and all the stuff we have to go through as children and adolescents, that I think we would have lost our will. And when we lose our will, you don't want to go on living. And so I really believe this is our innate system to protect us with this. Now again, what happens is that we get so used to living and so caught up in believing that this false sense of self is the better part of ourselves, that we push down our essence and we don't listen to our essence and we cut ourselves off from that inner wisdom and truth. And so our job becomes then, when we are ready, is to begin to take back our true sense of self and identity by beginning to share with the ego, you know what, thanks, but I don't need this much protection anymore. And that's how we begin to let go of some of these layers of the ego. And this happens to us from pain, because what happens is that the more we will get away with ignoring our essence for only so long, and then more and more pain will show up in your life. And that is that's the motivator for us to decide, you know, this false way of living, all these stories and all these thoughts that the ego is telling me is no longer working for me, and something has to change. And so we have, you know, for some of us it's a personal crisis, for some of us it's a health crisis, or, you know, a professional crisis. And these are our wake-up opportunities. And I truly believe that you don't have to go to the depths if you learn to listen to your emotions along the way, because they are going to be guiding you as to whether you are in alignment with your essence and your authentic self, or whether you are out of alignment. And so the more you can become in alignment, the more you are telling your ego that that you can honor this part of yourself. And so, you know, I still have ego. I haven't met a person without ego yet, because we are here to continually grow and evolve and to see this experience, what it would be like to be our fullest expression of self. And so every point that we grow, there's fear. And it's our opportunity then to say, can I address the ego and address these fears so that I can be more of a fuller expression, so I can allow a more of this authentic self and potential to be revealed? And in order to do that, we have to be able to first become aware and then recognize how we can claim back our power in each of those instances. And your feelings will give you the exact direction, the exact next step to take in order to do that. And that's why I'm a huge proponent of learning to listen to your negative, what's considered and judged, I will put, as negative emotion, to actually support you. And if we have time, Kathy, I can share with you more about how to do that.
Yeah, I'm very interested for my listeners to understand that whole process, Michelle, because we do talk a lot on this show about emotions and how to gain control of your emotions and how important it is to gain control of your emotions. And I love the fact that this show is so diverse in different thoughts and opinions and procedures and techniques on how to do that. And I love yours. I absolutely love the way you teach it, and I would love for you to just go ahead right now and share how that process works.
Sure.
You can just give us an example. I mean, I know you use the young lady who had the tumor, the breast tumor, and it turned out to be benign. But, yeah, just give some examples of, you know, exactly how the process works. And just to let you know, I'm not going to announce the name yet, but my email box is overflowing with people who want the hip-free download. But anyway.
Oh, go ahead. Good.
So go ahead and talk a little bit more about that process.
Well, and again, this is for those of us, I'm one of them, who could not control my emotions. And so if controlling your emotions works for you, then use that strategy. For me, that wasn't the case. I was always considered a sensitive person. Emotions still flow from me. I can watch a commercial and be touched by it and cry. I don't judge that, though. And so I think a big piece in this is recognizing, and this is a shift in consciousness, and so we don't have to, don't feel bad if you have been judging your emotions, because it's really, this is a really new shift that I am teaching healers, energy workers, other life coaches about this, because it just hasn't been understood. There's been a lot of focus on our thoughts, and now this emotion piece is just really at this turning point in a shift in consciousness. So how this works is with how the process that I use is called Feel Every Emotion as Love. And that takes away the judgment right off the bat of all your feelings. And how I teach this is to say, look, your first reaction of your feeling is going to be ego-based. It just is. It's what we know. It's how we're used to reacting. So allow yourself to have that ego base, sense of that feeling. You know, I know some people, they feel uncomfortable about that. I say, hey, set a timer then. If you're so, you know, worried that it's going to go out of control, set a timer. Give yourself 5 minutes. But what this actually does is, first of all, it's a release. And as long as you're not releasing it onto other people, this is your own personal, you know, let's release it in a journal, let's release it out loud, talk to yourself, whatever way to really understand what the ego message is. And what you're going to find is that the ego message isn't true. And what I teach people, I have a virtual mastery program that's called Feel Every Emotion is Love Virtual Mastery Program. And I go through each of the emotions and I say, you know what? When you have anger, your ego is buying into that you don't have power. But your essence is trying to tell you how you do have power in this situation. When you feel sad, you are in this place where you feel lost, you feel confused. And what your essence is trying to tell you is clarity. And so on and so forth. With guilt, I support people. You know, with guilt, we get weighed down and we're feeling all these shoulds. And what your essence is trying to tell is open you up and expand beyond that role that you're buying into. So with anxiety, when people are filled with anxiety and worry, they're getting weighed down by that, and your essence is actually telling you to take action on something that you are fighting. So I get into really detail about this for people. It's actually a 5-month program to really support people to make mm-hmm. this shift because it's so ingrained. But the nuts and bolts of it is allow your ego to say the ego version of that feeling. Anger, you know, you're mad about this, you're mad, you know, I'll use an example of a couple I was working with. And the woman was really upset that she would give her husband a few tasks to do and he wouldn't do it. And so she, instead of engaging with him, she went to her room, went to her space and said, you know, and her anger says, you know what, you know, I just want someone that's going to be more responsive, someone that listens to me, someone that will support me and to be a true partner. And, you know, and so, but what she wanted to say, what her ego was saying was that all these excuses, you know, he's just more caught up in his work than he is in our relationship, and he can be such a jerk and all these things. But what she heard underneath that, Kathy, was this, was how she was talking to him was not engaging him in a way that was being respectful of him. So what came of this? She journals. So you journal out the ego message, you know, he's a jerk, he doesn't support me, he's caught up in his work. And then she allows her essence, that to come through. And she knows now with anger that it's about power. So she says, okay, essence, how can I claim my power back in this situation? And how can I do it out of love? And so she turned around and she said to him, instead of all these things that she wanted to say, where she was the victim and she wasn't being supported and she had to do everything on her own, she said, you know what, honey? I appreciate how much you do for me, and I know this sounds like a small, ridiculous request from me, but it, for some reason it means a lot to me. When you empty the dishwasher, can you make sure you do it by 5 o'clock so that I have dishes ready, so when we have our meal prepared that they're already out? And will you make sure that the plates are put away in this special way? And because she was able to come from that standpoint, and it just came from her because she had this insight, that she was able to completely shift a dynamic in their relationship where they were rubbing heads with bumping heads, that she came from a place of love because she understood what it was about. She saw how her ego was having her buy into the notion that she's a victim. And she said, aha, this is how I claim power from a love standpoint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, Michelle, one very critical point that you made in this process is that you did state that it's a 5-month-long process.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's one thing, people, everyone who's listening, please understand that wherever you currently are now, and we have said it many times on this show, that you have to start at some point, and you have to continue to move forward. Continue to move forward. So many people are so hard on themselves, and that's that ego piece,
yes,
so hard on themselves when they fall back. And we're human. That's going to happen. You're going to fall back, but you have to continue to move forward. If you fall back one step, then push forward and be determined to take 3 steps in the next phase of what you're doing. And this is a day-by-day, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute struggle.
Yes.
Especially the deeper down you are in the dark place, the harder of a struggle it's going to be. You've got to fight against it. Otherwise, you might as well just go ahead and purchase your coffin and and I mean, I know that sounds funny, Michelle, but, you know, I just want to tell a quick little funny story just to show people how this story may be funny, and I absolutely had to resist from laughing when I heard it, but it was so sad. It totally shows the mindset of people in this nation today for uncontrollable reasons that they have no control over. They have total control over their emotions, but they are allowing the situations that they can't control to kill them and destroy them. I heard on the news the other day, and I very rarely watch the news, and this is the reason why, but I have an interview coming up, and I wanted to just, you know, familiarize myself with the local affiliate station here for the local ABC affiliate station here. And so I was watching the news, which was the daytime that I'm going to be on doing an interview, and they was talking about a story of a man who had shot and killed 5 people. And that wasn't so unusual. I was like, okay, well, that's pretty bad. There's another shooting in the city. But, Michelle, when they told the reason why he did it, I had to chuckle just a little bit, even though it wasn't funny, but it just came out. I was amazed. The reason they, I don't even know how they knew this. I think the man came out of the house after he shot his wife and he shot several neighbors. He came out of the house and he was angry with his wife because of the way she cooked his eggs.
Oh my.
Isn't that sad?
That's horrendous. I mean.
That's horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
But that had built up and built up over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens, people, when you don't address these emotional issues. It starts out with one thing, and then it escalates into another worry, and then it escalates into another worry. And these worries keep piling on top of each other, and then it turns into the most tiniest, minute thing that you just go off the deep end. He shot his wife, shot his two children, went outside, shot a neighbor, and then killed himself.
Yes. Yes.
Because he felt so bad because of what had happened. Now he will never eat breakfast again.
Right.
And his wife will never cook breakfast again. And those innocent children, they're just gone because he lost it. And I think that is an extreme story, but it's a true story.
It's
and
true.
And it totally shows where our nation is, where our country is as a people with emotions. It's totally out of control. People are slow. Now, he was one of those kind of people who was slowly dying, and it just finally came to a head. But the majority of people out there are slowly dying.
Yes.
And they think they're going to live to a ripe old age, but we have news for them. They could have a heart attack, stroke, anything tomorrow because of the stress and the worry that they have allowed to slowly chip away at their physical health.
Yes. I actually work with a lot of men with anger issues, and always behind it is a deeper sense of powerlessness. And it's so interesting because the ego has them put on this bravado of just the opposite to protect that vulnerability of feeling powerless, and their essence, it once they reconnect, is guiding them to where their true power exists. It's just not in that false sense that we've bought into. So it's always there, and of course there's always people that will be nowhere near being able to connect with their essence because they're too far gone. I mean, you know, there's just...
Right.
It will be a very challenging road for people when they're too far gone. And I've worked with people, you know, schizophrenic and, you know, really dealing with the depths of it. And there's just a point where, it's going to be way too challenging to come back. But that's why for those, your listeners, first of all, my sense is that these are people who are looking to create change. They're conscious of it. They're looking for it and have received your support. And so honor yourself just for that you have, you are tuned into this where so many people aren't. And, you know, when you fall back, to use it as an opportunity, and this was something that it took me years to realize and to see how many successful people, that every part of their success story, there's a piece where they experience failure or a fallback. And what I have learned to do in those situations is to say to my essence, what do I need to learn from this situation so that it doesn't have to get worse? What can
and
I take from this situation?
And one of the things we talk about a lot on this show, and I say it just about every week, and I think it always bears repeating on every single show, is that before you can actually do this procedure or any procedure that we talk about, you first have to balance yourself. That gentleman that I just spoke of that ended up going off the deep end, there was zero balance. He was totally distressed. I mean, his stress had taken over his life. You have to have some sort of balance. Everyone has stress in their life. Everyone has some situation they're not happy about. They would love to change. You cannot 100% focus on that. You have to step away sometime. Step away and do something enjoyable. Step away and take your mind away from that. It's going to be there when you come back.
Right.
But step away and do something that relaxes your mind, that's soothing, that's fun, enjoyable. Maybe you can laugh. Laughter is very therapeutic. Whatever you can do that can get yourself out of that stressful, distressful mindset, even if it's just for a day or an hour or whatever period of time you can do, you've got to mix that in with your stressed out life. If you don't, you will never be able to do any of these procedures that we're talking about on this show or any other show we've had. So that is a very, very critical piece. You've got to find some way to balance and find some good quality, quiet, peaceful, enjoyable time with other people. Don't alienate yourself. Don't just sit in the house by yourself thinking, oh, this is going to do it if I just sit here and be quiet, because your thoughts are going to take control.
Well, I like what you're saying, because to me, that's a form of connecting with your authentic self, that part that wants to have joy, that part that wants to be out and about and experience nature or experience life. That is your connection with that that all-knowing part of you that knows how to bring you joy and fulfillment in life. So absolutely, the more we can connect with that part and establish this relationship with this inner knowingness within ourselves, the more you are going to have the insight, and the understanding as to what are your next steps, what will bring you greater joy, what will bring you greater fulfillment. And the more you follow that, that shows that you're trusting in that inner wisdom within you.
Now,
and, you know, it's also kind of similar. Tony, were you there?
Yeah, I was. I just wanted to ask Michelle, and this is a question. I've been listening, and I just wanted to ask. Many people want to take that step. Many people want to listen to their inner self. They allow the ego to take control more times than not, and they don't know how to turn it around. And the techniques, I've just been listening to what you're saying. How do you keep people, or what can you say to those listeners who recognize it when it comes up and it brings them that moment of joy, it brings them that moment of happiness, but then there's that sense of feeling guilty because their routine has been so dominating in their lives? Like, for instance, let's say, for instance, you are a mother who has spent her life taking care of her children and taking care of family and doing wonderful things, but your essence says that there are other things that you would just be happier doing and fulfilling. Not abandoning your children, but you just know that you have that urge, those things. How do you deal with that? Because there are a lot of folks, particularly nowadays, there are a lot of folks that are stuck in situations. And I'll use Kathy, and I hope she doesn't mind me using this example.
Not at all.
She did exactly what you said to do. She did exactly what the techniques that you brought up to get her to doing what she's doing right now. Initially, there was a great deal of naysayers, and her ego spoke to her quite often. But then she changed. But a lot of folks don't know how to tell the ego to step back or even turn it around so that, because when you were telling the story about the young lady getting the diagnosis and still feeling the way she did, the one thing when you were talking about her changing the mindset of what she did with the ego, the thing I was thinking about was she should just be jumping up for joy and thanking her ego for waking her up and thanking herself for being woke up, and every opportunity she thought about it, it should have been a wake-up call and a thank you for that wake-up call. And a lot of us don't think that way. We don't think so. So how can we get away from that feeling guilty about feeling good? Because so many people feel guilty about feeling good.
Yes. Well, first of all, hi, Tony. I didn't say hi to you earlier, and I appreciate your question. I think that's so important. What I want to, with that woman, with the with the benign cyst in her breast. What shifted for her was getting very clear about what was her truth. Because before that, she felt like she had no control over her thoughts. But when we identified through her feelings what was true for her, and when you feel that, Tony and Kathy, there, and you sit with that feeling, that is so powerful. You know, I do a lot of research with people. Greg Braden is doing a lot of research on emotions, and there is just study after study showing how much more powerful your emotions are than your thoughts. I mean, this is emotions change DNA. It changes you. And so what I did was just support her to be conscious of what her truth was using the power of her feeling. And I had her sit with that, which was coming out as sadness and coming out as tears of what her truth was when she said, all I want to do is live. And it was tears and it was sadness because she felt like she hasn't lived. But what a beautiful statement to make, and what a beautiful statement that came from her essence. So when you learn to be in your feelings and hear the truth to them, there is such a power to it that you will automatically be shifted. There is no faking it. You recognize the truth and you're like, aha, and why would I ever go back to the lie? Because I see it so clearly now as a lie. Now, with guilt, again, I share this in my Feel Virtual Mastery program. Guilt is about the shoulds. The ego version is about the shoulds, and let's keep you limited into a certain role that you're identified with and that your ego identifies you as. And your essence is calling out to say, it's time to open up to more of your potential. It's time to open up to more of your joy. It's time to open up to what is more fulfilling for you.
And
so
that's why the two thoughts are battling each other.
What's that?
That's why the two thoughts are battling each other when Tony mentioned the mother.
Yes.
As an example, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so what's going to come up is from the ego saying, you know, you shouldn't do this, and, you know, your kids are going to be upset, and they might actually be upset. But to make that shift, what I tell people to do is, again, write out exactly all the lies that your ego is telling you. Write them out. See them in black and white. And then after it's all done, it's like we give our ego the permission to just let loose, because I don't want you holding on to all that. And because to me, that's what makes us really ruminate over things, is because it's trying to get our attention. And this way you're saying, okay, ego, you got my attention. Let me hear it. And then that creates the space for your essence to come through. And you ask yourself, okay, essence, what is this guilt really about for me? And from that, your essence is going to say stuff, you know, Kathy, I just want you to experience this. Or I want you to be able to define success in a different way, or joy in a different way, or potential in a different way. And so, and when you feel it, you will recognize how true it is. And then you have a conscious choice. You consciously decide, which am I going to give more weight to? And yes, there will be moments where you give more weight to your guilt, to the ego version of your guilt. And then when you do, and you're in that feeling, and you stop yourself when you're in that feeling and you're conscious of it, rather than eating ice cream, turning on the TV, or shopping, or the other things that we do to avoid the feeling that we're in, we say, okay, I'm in it. How does this feel? What am I buying into again that isn't true? And how is this serving me? Is this serving me? So you're just slowing yourself down, and it is a conscious choice to do it. And for people who are truly committed to making this shift, it will happen. Now, sometimes what comes up for people is that there's a victim story tied into it. They're too tied into a part of their identity that's the ego, and you know, then they may have to do some more work regarding, you know, going a little bit deeper regarding what they're buying into more on a deeper ego level. But the guilt from your essence is going to be telling you exactly what to do. It's just going to be up to you to be conscious about it and really feel each of the different feelings and know which is going to serve you.
I just wanted to get this point in real quick, because something you said a little bit earlier, I think it was kind of like an aha for me, because what you just were talking about, because we've been taught so often, particularly when you're taught to heal and retrain your thinking, in many instances they say retrain your thinking so that when the emotions come about, you're able to deal with those emotions differently. And what I'm hearing from you is, there were emotions that caused us to feel the way we felt in the first place, and it's going to take emotions to change the way we feel about those feelings to do that. So it's kind of which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, which came first, the thought or the emotion. And when you really look at it, emotions are tied to everything that we feel, so it makes the most sense that you would use emotions to retrain the way that you feel better. And that just, I just got that. I don't know if that's what you're saying, but that's what it just felt like to me.
Yes, that is absolutely what I'm saying. I don't only say this. This is a quote from Oprah. She says, people don't change their lives based on what they know. They change their life based on what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah.
That's right.
I mean, we change based on what we feel. So,
and that absolutely goes along with that sad story about the man who shot his wife, because he was totally allowing his feelings to rule him, which we do all the time.
The ego version.
If we would just step out of that mindset for a moment, because we do best what we do most, and if we could just step out of that mindset for a moment and start the process, allow yourself to feel something different. Push against the ego. Feel the joy, like the lady with the diagnosis. Feel the joy for life. Feel the purpose that you're supposed to. Feel that. Because the more you feel that, the more you're going to feel that.
Yes.
You have to start somewhere. If you just allow yourself to have fun, allow yourself to feel joy, then you're going to feel a little bit more joy the next time, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because, again, we do best what we do most.
Yes. And Michelle,
I'm going to ask you to go ahead and give closing comments. I mean, we're coming up on our last 60 seconds of the show, so I'm going to
Darn.
I know. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. I know my listeners absolutely love you, because my inbox is running over right now. But, yeah, just kind of close us out with a good closing remark.
Well, when I first got this, Kathy, was when there was a point where I was sad, and it came to me so quick what the sadness was about. I was getting clarity to ask for something more towards my job. I did it. I got the insight, and instantly I started laughing and crying with gratitude for how cared for and loved that I am, and we all are, and this is available to us. We have to get out of the ego understanding of the feelings and know that there's a new consciousness, a deeper level that is there to support you.
Absolutely. Perfectly, beautifully said. Michelle, you have been a fabulous guest. Wonderful. I'm sure our listeners are absolutely loving you, because my inbox is running over, and some lucky person will get one of Michelle's downloads, and we have just totally enjoyed all of your information. You'll be hearing from some of my listeners, I'm sure. Thank you so much. I will post Michelle's website link on my site. We didn't have a chance to really talk a lot about that, but we're so out of time. We are going to sign off for now, and we will thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you, Kathy.
We will
thank
be
you,
back
Tony.
Again next week with another episode of Living by Design. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony DeMont.
And we will see you next week on Living by Design. Good night, everyone.